Welcome to Real Talk About Real Estate.
What is it with men and asking for directions?
A weekly conversation about buying, building, listing, and financing real estate.
Let's catch up, huh?
Yeah, let's
catch up. I got a real estate deal. I'm taking to a final walkthrough, you know.
Okay.
Brought to you by Union Home Mortgage on Niles Road, across from Nye's Apple Barn in St. Joseph.
Delighted to meet you. Overjoyed, enraptured, entranced. Are we ready? Yes. Good.
Union Home Mortgage Corp., NMLS, number 2229, an equal housing lender.
I've been in this house before. I know the lady who owns it.
I liked her. She gave me a real good deal for the summer.
Questions can be sent to John R. Wallace at unionhomemortgage.com. Now, here's your host, John Wallace.
Welcome back to Real Talk About Real Estate. I'm John Wallace. As we get ready to end the year here in the studio, it's Mike Weibel with Hilliard Lyons. Mike's getting right. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you next week.
Thank you very much.
Happy birthday to you. Married wife Heidi, five children, Christy, Hannah, Rocky, Alec, and Alicia. Dogs named Bella. What kind of dog?
It's a golden doodle.
Ah, beautiful animal. There. Golden doodle. Mike's born in St. Joe, Lakeshore Public Schools, graduated 1984, Rhema Bible College, studied ministry, and spent a number of years in Florida in ministry before moving on to back to Southwest Michigan in 04, insurance at First, Fifth Third Bank, investment executive for many years there. We worked together at Fifth Third, and then you were an officer at Fifth Third and an investment executive in 2008. Then you went to Raymond James for a couple of years and have been with Hilliard Lyons just this year. Great team.
Great team.
Hilliard Lyons.
Really good firm.
Hey, end of every day, by the way, on WSJM and every morning as well at 20 after the hour. We get the update from somebody at Hilliard Lyons on how the markets did yesterday or the day before or today, depending on what time you're
what time you're tuning in.
You're listening to the Hilliard Lyons office is on South State Street in St. Joe. Office number is 983-7500, and Mike's email is mwible@hilliard.com. And, of course, a member of New York Stock Exchange, FINRA, SIPC, but we're not going to quote stocks or make buy recommendations or any of those kind of things that would get one of us in trouble today.
That would be bad.
Welcome, Mike.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Give us a little bit about that background on the move from I understand it being in a calling to ministry, and even today you're in a ministry. It's a different animal than it was back when you were in Florida.
Correct.
But that move back from Florida to Southwest Michigan.
Was making a job change. Obviously, I was stepping out of a ministry role. I had been doing youth ministry for majority of that time. Had just decided that it was time to make a change. And really the reason I came back to Southwest Michigan was because of schools. Florida schools
for kids.
My kids were in elementary school at that time, and Florida schools are not usually ranked very high. And
no comment.
And that's where we'll put that one. And trying to find really a good school system, you know, not knowing was difficult. And of course, growing up here, knew the school systems, had a lot of friends and family that are teachers, and thought, well, at least I know a great place to put kids into school. So that was one of the reasons why I moved back home, was because of the great schools that we have in Southwest Michigan.
Yeah, absolutely. And across the districts. And are the kids in St. Joe or Lakeshore schools or none of the above?
So I have two that graduated from Lakeshore. I have two that graduated from St. Joe and one that's still in St. Joe. So we're a diversified rival family.
So do you have four in college at the moment?
Three in college.
Three in college.
One out,
four
three
man.
In. I know. Exactly.
There was just a national study out earlier this week that talked about how 75% of parents are still financially supporting their adult children.
Yeah, I could see that.
You know, given the economy and jobs and those kind of things, what are they studying, the kids in college?
I've got one son, Rocky, is at Cleveland Institute of Art studying video editing and animation. He's a junior. Then I have a daughter that is at Grand Valley studying basically product design or engineering. And then I have a son that's at Michigan Tech who's a freshman studying engineering.
So. And at Michigan Tech, he's already buried under 10 feet of snow.
Oh, yeah. They have had snow for months.
Yeah. Well, but that's exciting. Now, it sounds like it will be solid, good career opportunities for all three of them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Very good. Very good choices. And, of course, they're my kids, so I think they're brilliant, but...
Well, that's from her.
Right. I had very little to do with it.
Well, there's all kinds of things we could, housing is just one part of an investment portfolio, as you, we all hope to work towards someday, being able to retire and not count on Social Security to live off of. And so a lot of things we could talk about this hour, and we'll come back and start getting into that. Again, Mike Weibel, Hilliard Lyons, the office number there, and the office is on South State Street in St. Joe. For some reason, I want to say Kalamazoo all of a sudden. South State and Kalamazoo. It's the State Theater. That's what's got you. Must be a concert coming on we're supposed to go to. Anyways, office number is 983-7500. Mike's email is mweibel, W-Y-B-L-E, at hilliard.com. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Real Talk about real estate, brought to you by Union Home Mortgage on News Talk 94.9 WSJM.
Welcome back to Real Talk about Real Estate. In the studio from Hilliard Lyons tonight in St. Joe, it's Mike Weibel and Hilliard Lyons, and Mike, member NYSE, FINRA, SIPC. So let's talk about, and you've been in, as I have too, been in a lot of different places, worked with a lot of great people in other organizations, but sometimes those organizations get either too big or too slow to respond, or, and we'll leave the names out of it. But what's the difference between you and some of your peers, not only in the industry, but in our area?
I think one of the big things that differentiates us and why I'm really excited to be at Hilliard Lyons is the difference between, everybody talks about being goal-based and helping people achieve their goals, and that's very important. But I think the foundation of that, and really what sets us apart, is we really want to help people manage their wealth and develop a work-optional lifestyle, which sounds very fancy, but really, you know, as you get to the point of retiring and obviously saving and putting money aside, it's about giving yourself the opportunity to have options and make those choices. As much as we'd like to think that life is linear, point A to point B, we all realize that that's just not true. And no. Certainly, I realize coming into a birthday, I looked at life a lot different in my 20s and 30s and 40s than I do today. Perspective gives us, hopefully, wisdom, but certainly a different vantage point. And what we think we're going to do in retirement, or what we think we're going to do in the future, many times is not really what we're interested in or what life has given us. So having those options in that moment to say, I'm not driven to just live a life that now I've been chosen for me, but I can make those choices,
right,
gives us a lot of power. But the only solid way to do that is to build a foundation of a strong financial plan. If you don't have a strong financial plan, it's just goals.
Yeah.
And goals without a blueprint are just dreams. So if we don't have a foundation of actual blueprints of how are we going to get to point A and point B, and how are we going to prepare for the things that we don't know are going to happen, and things that we can only anticipate, really sets us apart, I think, as far as other people in my industry that are just more based on performance of a portfolio and not really looking at the financial and wealth health of an individual or a family.
Yeah. And I think a lot of that sets from, I remember when Jeff Newman brought Hilliard Lyons here into the community. Mm-hmm. A lot of that, not just the how Hilliard Lyons operates, but the kind of leader and team that Jeff is. Talk about the team that works out of this office. And Jeff, we're not blowing smoke. We really mean it.
Yes, we really do. 20 years ago, they made a move to Hilliard Lyons and opened up that office. A lot of the people that are in the office have been in the industry for 30 years, 30 plus years. The two ladies that we have at the front that are our customer service assistants, two of those ladies have been there. Just had 30 years, and the one's a little over 30 years that they've been in the industry. Jeff's been in the industry 35 years. We have Rick Sanders in the office. Rick's been in the industry close to that 30 years. Alan McKee as well. We have a new guy that's with us. Of course, I'm a new guy that's with Hilliard Lyons, but I'm not young.
Yeah, but you're not unexperienced.
Right, but we have a new guy that's just new to the office and new to the industry. His name is Dad Norton, just a great guy and really brings a lot of talent and a different perspective. You know, those millennials that we like to bash, they do have a different perspective. And I think that's important that we bring that flavor into the office. And of course, we have Mike Osborne. Mike Osborne's our office manager. He's retired from Whirlpool years ago and brings a lot of corporate experience from Whirlpool, but also brings that flavor of giving us that different management look at how the office can be run, and brings a lot of quality to the office that
Yeah. At the same time, and you're nearing, 15 years in, as it were, in finance and in investments, and the 30 plus years that some of the other folks have in the office, that longevity gives you a real perspective.
Oh, definitely.
As opposed to, oh my gosh, now we're looking at maybe the Dow's going to cross 25,000 and where am I in the market? And
We're crossing through a record bull market. So mm-hmm. if you haven't been, I started off at Fifth Third right when the market in 08, when the market was crashing. Gone. I can remember sitting in a training class in Ohio going through training for Fifth Third and sitting in the back and getting scolded because we were sitting there as advisors watching the stock price of Fifth Third cascading down.
Drown into the $8-$10 range.
Just right. And everybody's saying, well, what are you looking at? And we're watching what's happened. If you haven't been in those markets and you haven't helped people emotionally manage those markets, that's something that's a very difficult. You just can't read that from a book.
No, not at all. I remember, I think the Dow was in the near 12,000 range just at the beginning of the collapse. And, of course, we were Carter Wallace at that point. And I was having a conversation with my mother-in-law. I said, you watch, it'll drop to 6. Mm-hmm. No, it won't. It's going to drop down to 6. And it did. But a lot of folks have started to finally get recovered from that collapse. And of course, if you went, oh, I'm getting out when it did collapse, that you've missed out on the growth that's happened since.
And there's people that are still out. They're still waiting. Oh, I missed it. And they've missed it for 9 years. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people that just have a hard time understanding how to manage that risk. Right. And then again, that's what we bring to the table as advisors. And that's part of the value that we bring is not just saying, hey, pick the stock or pick that one, but helping you manage the emotional challenge and also the risk to find what is the right fit for you, what's going to allow you to sleep at night. It doesn't matter how much money you make. If you can't sleep at night, it ain't worth it.
No.
At the same time, how do I push myself to be in that position that right now I might feel a little uncomfortable with because it's something that I don't do on a daily basis? But as an advisor, I can say, hey, I've been through these markets, we've been through these situations, and we're going to be okay. I think there's people need that, and that's what you're paying for an advisor to have.
Trust and relationship.
Exactly.
We're talking with Mike Weibel from Hilliard Lyons, member NYSE, FINRA, and SIPC, the office, of course, on South State Street in St. Joe. The office number is 983-7500, and Mike's email is mweibel, that's WYBLE, at Hilliard, HILLIARD.com. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Real Talk about real estate, brought to you by Union Home Mortgage, a News Talk 94.9 WSJM.
When we were shopping for a home, we really wanted somebody who would be available for us. We both work full time. We have 3 kids. We needed somebody that would be available when we were available.
Our schedule is crazy, too. It's really hard to find someone that can fit that schedule.
I was really impressed with Union Home Mortgage because we didn't have to worry about somebody not calling us back.
We didn't know anything about it going in, and they were just completely helpful.
And I really appreciated that they didn't try to sell us anything.
Union Home Mortgage in St. Joe is a national mortgage lender that delivers on our promises. Nationally, we average less than 21 days from complete application to closing on your new home. Conventional Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, Veterans VA loans, FHA and Rural Development, as well as construction and rehab mortgages. All Union Home loan officers are federally and state licensed with continuing education required. You won't find that level of training anywhere else in Southwest Michigan. Union Home Mortgage Corp, NMLS 2229, an equal housing lender. Find us online at unionhomemortgage.com. When you're buying a home, think Union Home Mortgage, right here in Southwest Michigan.
You're listening to Real Talk about real estate, brought to you by Union Home Mortgage, a News Talk 94.9 WSJM.
Welcome back to Real Talk about real estate as we wrap up what has been really a phenomenal year in growth, stock markets.
Certainly.
The Federal Reserve raised the prime rate again. Not surprisingly, fully expected, and the markets had expected that and built in.
Right.
But a changeover coming into the Federal Reserve and the Federal Reserve Chair, Janet, as soon as the new one gets sworn in, Janet Yellen's going to retire, as it were. Well, tell me about... let's say I got out of the market because I was scared to death when things collapsed, or I lost everything at that time, And now I'm starting to rebuild. And now you're in your young 50s. I'm 55. So if I'm planning on working, let's say I'm going to work another 15 years, and now I want to start getting back in, what kind of a foundation or financial plan should I be trying to sort out for, I got 15 years, right, or I got 10 years, what?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, because all of that makes a difference on what I do with my money. I think a great example in speaking about houses, I had a client of mine come to me, and he's in his mid-40s, and he said, you know, I really want to buy a house on the lake. And I said, what a great idea. And he says, no, this is a dream of mine, and how can I do that? And I said, well, what are you doing to get there? And he said, well, I'm putting money in retirement and I'm saving, but I got kids in college and, right, and at this point,
normal life.
Right. And at this point, I'm just kind of like looking down the road, but is that even feasible? And I said, well, it's certainly is feasible, but we have to look at your expectation of feasibility and what it's going to take to get there. And as we started laying it out and putting that plan together, as far as what does he expect he needs to make in retirement, I mean, that makes a big difference. Mm-hmm. How long until he retires? What Social Security is going to look like for him? Does he have any type of long-term care plan he needs?
Right.
All these different elements that you can say, hey, I just want to know about the performance of my portfolio. But wealth is far more than just, hey, I'm up 15% this year. It is making sure that I have my risk managed through insurance and my healthcare needs. And what about estate planning and...
Well, sure, because if you haven't got some kind of long-term disability policy tied into the family, and that's the insurance side of things, or a trust that's taking care of that, however you set it up in your individual needs family financial plan, boy, in a heartbeat, any one of us could be all of a sudden sitting at CareTel for a lot of years, and those assets just start depleting quickly.
And the biggest beneficiary of all my life's work is a nursing home.
Yeah.
Which is tragic. So making sure that we have done things smartly and taking care of somebody's money is, again, as important, if not more important, than just what portfolio or what to invest in. I think right now in the market and going in is making sure that you're disciplined. Market is at record highs. You know, since January, we started the Dow in January was 20,000, which was a record.
Yeah.
And now we're sitting at 24. And as many people that say, well, I've missed it. Well, the same people said that a year ago.
Right.
So
yeah, they said that at 12. They said it went at 16, and you know.
Right. So to say, well, how do I get in? Well, this is the wrong time to say, hey, basically, I'm going to go to the proverbial casino and see if I can hit a jackpot. Or, hey, I'm going to make a reach for yield, and I'm going to try to beat everybody else and what they're getting for yield. It's time to be disciplined. Make sure I'm diversified, making sure I'm doing things wisely and smartly.
Across multiple industries.
Yeah, and building a solid portfolio and not just picking, hey, I'm going to go out and buy this stock.
Enron.
Right. Because I was at the gyms this morning and I heard somebody talking about it and it's the thing to buy, which I deal with all the time. You know, somebody told me the other day.
Or some new penny stock.
Right. Somebody came in the other day and said, hey, I heard of a great stock recommendation. I said, where'd you hear it? The Secretary of State. I was standing in line and overheard somebody. And I said, so your financial investment decision came from the Secretary of State?
Yeah. Or somebody standing in line at the Secretary of State.
And their response was, when you say it, it sounds ridiculous. And I go, no, it was ridiculous before I said it. but again, I think really the key right now is about being disciplined, making sure you have a disciplined plan that it's a part of, again, not just what I'm doing for the next 6 months or what stocks to pick today, but how is what I'm doing today going to help me to where I want to be 15 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now? And making sure that that's on that track. We hear a lot of things talk about index funds and index and benchmarks and what the S&P 500's done. But really, when it comes down to it, it's really not what the S&P 500 does or doesn't do is not as important to me as an investor as making sure that I'm on track to be where I want to be.
Right.
If the S&P 500 is up 20%, that's great. But if I don't need to take that risk and I can get where I want to be at 5%, then who cares what the S&P 500 does? The S&P 500 is down 15%. Again, if I'm invested in the market and I've cushioned in those up and down markets to know that I'm still going to be where I want to be when I get there, if I could say that five times over, then I can sleep at night, realize, you know what, this isn't going to affect me. And I think that's what having a plan is all about, is making sure that in those up markets and down markets, when the Fed raises the funds rate and when they don't, all those things are factored in to make sure that my index, my benchmark, is about me. It's not about what the general public says I should be making in my portfolio. It's making sure that I'm getting to where I want to be when I retire, or when I pass my wealth on to my kids, or whatever the case might be. That really becomes my index and my benchmark that I should be basing my investments on.
Yeah. At the same time, unless you're going to be a day trader, God forbid, there, I know some guys who, I don't know any women who are, I'm sure there are, but I know some men who are, once I set a plan in motion, I have the right plan in place for the family, right? I'm going to leave you to trust this. That's your job to watch that stuff. I have life to live and work to do and family to take care of. And so I am not overall going to go, what's Whirlpool doing today? What's Whirlpool, or whatever stock it just may happen to be. I think at the same time, one of the things that we may be seeing as we cross into 2018 here, and we'll have to see how the tax changes come.
Right.
But when we talk about, I can't get into the market because it's up near, it's in between 24 and 25,000 the Dow right now. It's the wrong time. I got to wait for it to drop. Well, if a lot of the corporate tax benefits that appear to be in those two packages between the House and the Senate as they go into committee come through, and a lot of cash gets repatriated back into the United States, one of the things you're going to see, I expect, based on the CEO interviews I've seen, is there's going to be a lot of stock buyback. So that's going to, again, increase the value of your portfolio because of that.
And we've seen a lot of this rally be led by large cap companies. Mm-hmm. I mean, the techs and those that have led this rally, which we've enjoyed. But what we haven't seen is a lot of that small and mid cap. So those are the companies that are really going to benefit from tax reform. So if we get solid tax reform that they're proposing, we could really see a lot of gas in the tank that will fuel this rally going on further. And that's going to be a lot of those small and mid caps. Certainly some of those large caps are also going to benefit from that. But what we haven't seen in this rally is the small and mid caps really take off. And that could be the next place to see some growth.
Yeah. I think one of the other things, and this ties into part in our region and also national averages, of the majority of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck.
Oh, right.
So I think one of the things that, and Kristen and I are working on it as well, is you really got to sit down and analyze where your money's going every month and look at a budget and go, okay, do we really need to be spending that here? Because even if it's only $50 or $100 a month, it's a start that I make a commitment to that's going to go into something that's an...
Oh, huge. And what a great, again, I think in the world in which we live of information, TV, internet, online, and people get the idea of, I can do this myself. I can do my own investments. I can do my own financial plan. I don't need to pay anybody or have anybody. I can do this myself. And you virtually can.
Right.
But my question becomes to somebody is, what is your time worth? I mean, how much time are you willing to dedicate toward hitting these goals and being on top of it? And many people, especially on the physical fitness and gym industry, many people can say, hey, you know what? I can get in shape all by myself. And they start in January and the gym is full. I go to South Shore. South Shore is going to be full in January. And by March, it'll be back to where it's normally supposed to be because everybody's kind of falling off the bandwagon.
Yeah, but that's kind of like saying, well, if I just had a blowtorch and a sharp knife, then I can do my own appendicitis.
Right.
Because it is a lot more complicated than that. We need to take a quick break, but we're talking to Mike Weibel, member NYSE, FINRA, SIPC, Hilliard Lyons, offices on South State. I still can't say it. Remember, offices are on South State Street in St. Joe. The office phone number there is 983-7500. Mike's email is mweibel@hilliard.com. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Real Talk about real estate, brought to you by Union Home Mortgage on News Talk 94.9 WSJM.
When we were shopping for a home, we really wanted somebody who would be available for us. We both work full-time. We have 3 kids. We needed somebody that would be available when we were available.
Our schedule is crazy, too. It's really hard to find someone that can fit that schedule.
I was really impressed with Union Home Mortgage because we didn't have to worry about somebody not calling us back.
We didn't know anything about it going in, and they were just completely helpful.
And I really appreciated that they didn't try to sell us anything.
Union Home Mortgage in St. Joe is a national mortgage lender that delivers on our promises. nationally, we average less than 21 days from complete application to closing on your new home. Conventional Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, Veterans VA loans, FHA and Rural Development, as well as construction and rehab mortgages. All Union Home loan officers are federally and state licensed with continuing education required. You won't find that level of training anywhere else in Southwest Michigan. Union Home Mortgage Corp, NMLS 2229, an equal housing lender. Find us online at unionhomemortgage.com. When you're buying a home, think Union Home Mortgage, right here in Southwest Michigan.
You're listening to Real Talk About Real Estate, brought to you by Union Home Mortgage, on News Talk 94.9 WSJM.
Welcome back to Real Talk About Real Estate. Tonight, the financial side of having a portfolio and investing for retirement. A house is just one aspect of that. Mike Weibel from Hilliard Lyons in the studio. Their office is again on South State Street. And every day, at the end of the day, after the market closes, you get an update from Hilliard Lyons here on WSJM. And again, the next morning throughout the day as well. Mike's email is mweibel@hilliard.com. The office phone number is 983-7500. We were just talking about impossible changes to the tax code that are in the works. It's going to get passed here before the end of the year in some form or another. There might be some growth in some small cap and some mid cap things. Define small cap and mid cap.
Well, without getting too deep in the weeds about that, right, which you could get very technical, but basically publicly traded companies are broken into three different categories, and that's based on their capitalization.
Whirlpool isn't a small or a mid.
No, they would be a large.
They're global.
They're a global. So here's a large cap company that's right in our backyard, which we really enjoy, but at the same time, there are companies that are considered to be mid-sized capitalized companies and smaller ones that would be companies that are IPOs that are just getting started. Those smaller companies, and as they're smaller, they tend to be more volatile and tend to be more risky. The old adage, 85% of all businesses fail.
Yeah.
So even if you're a publicly traded company, there still is a lot of risk in a small company on how it's going to fare in different market conditions. So,
sure. If the market, and I don't mean in terms of their cash flow or something, but if, let's say, I'm consumer driven in my small business, if the consumer sentiment changes in a completely different direction and I've got the wrong product line in, that could be end.
Oh, and then, you think about it, there's a lot of really good companies that are from all across that spectrum of size that for whatever reason fall out of favor.
Right.
There sometimes is no real reason, but the public just says, I'm just not feeling it. And all of a sudden that company loses momentum and you think, well, this company has all the fundamentals of being a solid run, should be a good investment, and it just doesn't perform like we expect because for whatever reason, people have got the idea, well, that just doesn't seem like to be a good idea, or that's not a company that I like, or the name just doesn't resonate with them. So those types of things sometimes really can affect a really good stock pick or a company pick.
Right.
Simply because for whatever reason, people just say, I just don't think that's a good idea.
A lot of times you'll hear, if you're watching, and I do watch some financial television, you'll hear old Kramer, for instance, talking about P.E. ratios.
Right.
I know, but in general, for those who are listening who don't have any idea, what's a price-to-earnings ratio?
Well, price-to-earnings ratio is basically built in on how they judge how much cash flow is coming into a company and how it's priced. And so those types of ratios or dynamics gives an idea of what the price is of that company today. Now, P.E. ratios and prices of a company tend to be somewhat cyclical. In other words, they'll go up and they'll be overpriced. And within a day, things can change and all of a sudden they'll drop below and can be considered to be value. So it changes. You could say, well, I'm going to buy this company tomorrow. And all of a sudden tomorrow it's overpriced. So all those things make a huge swing. And again, a lot of that has to do with public sentiment, has to do with what value I think that company is and what is I think of not just how it's going to do in 6 months, but what's the longevity of that company's performance? And when they say, well, P.E. ratios in stock is getting to be too expensive, it's because their price to earnings is getting to the multiple is higher than what they're earning. You're paying more for the company than what they can earn.
Right, but that's also a place where a lot of, and I think Hewlett-Packard over decades, I'm not talking about Hewlett-Packard value right now, this moment I'm not authorized licensed to do that.
Right.
But over many years, whenever for Hewlett-Packard and prior leadership for that company, whenever that ratio got like that, there was a stock split coming. I mean, they did stock splits more than many other companies did, which drops the value of the stock down again. you've got twice as much, or if it was a two for one split.
And it used to be that there were seasons
that was
for that.
Tool.
Yeah. The people would constantly do splits and get the price back down again. And now we see companies, you know, stock prices of $1,000 a share or far higher, and they don't show any interest in splitting. So it's kind of gotten to be where people don't anymore say, well, if we keep our stock price down to $100 or $10, people will buy it. People seem like if they like it, they're going to buy it.
Yeah, yeah. When you were talking about that price earnings ratio and those numbers and those ratios can change dramatically all the time. One of the things that I think most people, especially if you're going to be a day trader, you go, oh, now's the time for me to wrench in and I push my buy or my sell. And you can set some guidelines in there. But isn't it somewhere near 90% of stock trades these days are handled by algorithms on computers, you know?
Yeah, huge industrial, and when there's swings in the market a lot of times, as we saw with the flash crash, things, all of a sudden it's because a computer picks up a word in the headlines, and when they get enough verbiage, all of a sudden they trigger a sell. And so you'll see people say, well, I'm going to time the market and beat the market. It's very, very difficult to time the market because there are computers that can dump huge volumes of stock if needed. And like in the flash crash, all of a sudden people are like, well, what just happened? And it was basically a glitch. But as we see those types of things happening, that is where we live today. So when people say, well, before the price gets to be so low, I'm going to be smarter than the market. Even if you pull the trigger, it's hard to beat a computer.
And there's a great TED Talk, I think, about that, where he shows some of the algorithms and the Boston Strangler and other things that, you know, just happen to, I mean, one computer, one place. At the same time, as soon as you get that kind of flash crash, then all the other computers are going, wait, look at that price. I got to buy now.
Right. Oh, right.
It gets pulled right back up. It's still far better to be over here in this market than, say, hanging out in Venezuela at the moment.
Yeah.
Unless you're in missions.
That's the only reason to be there, I think.
A lot of advertising related to your industry, per se, and not Hilliard Lyons specifically, talks about no-load funds or low-cost fees, and then focus on the fees of the investment company. And how important is that, and what kind of variance is there? And again, you're not out quoting anybody directly.
No. There is a lot of variance between companies and fees, and that continues to be compressed because it's a real focus of our industry right now. And in some circumstances, certainly needs to be. I mean, there were a lot of fees that were very exorbitant, and I don't think people really understood what they were paying for. And on the flip side, we've seen this rush toward no loads or very low fees, which, again, fees are a conversation within themselves. But I think the question, or the conversation needs to be, as what is the value? What am I paying for?
Right.
You know, if it was always about fees, and we're talking about housing, then the best house to buy would always be the one that's cheapest built.
Right, but there's a big difference between a Yugo and a Cadillac.
Exactly.
And maybe I just need a Chevy in between there,
I mean, we all had those days when we bought cheap cars and we realized that how much it cost to put oil in it because it was burning a quart of gas tank. Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, there's other costs by saying, hey, I'm going to go low cost. So when we focus on fees, I think sometimes the idea is well, I just want to do it as cheaply as possible. And we miss out on what is the conversation should be is what am I paying for and what is the value I'm receiving? So when we talk to somebody, again, when we talk about financial plans with somebody and we say, hey, this is where we recommend you should put your money based on the plan that we've put together, having a plan and having that ability to say, hey, I've got somebody helping me. I can sleep at night. I don't have to worry about what they just said at 5 o'clock or at 9 o'clock on the business channel because
got tweeted at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Exactly.
Or,
do I have enough insurance or what happens if I get sick or if I die, where's my money going to go? All those things should be part of that conversation and should be part of the package of what I have with a advisor when I enter that relationship.
Well, I have a stepfather who passed away a year ago in Lansing, lived in Lansing. He's got two sons.
Uh-huh.
Didn't have a will.
Yeah.
That's all still floating through probate a year later.
You're right.
You know?
I had a client one time come in. This is back when I was at Fifth Third, and he refused to get a will. And I'm sitting with himself and his wife and his son. And he said, I'm not going to get it. And he's 82 at this point.
Wow.
And says, I'm not going to have a will. And I said, why? And she elbows him and says, tell him why. And he said, well, and she goes, tell him why. And he wouldn't say it. And she says, he believes when he gets a will, he's going to die.
Oh.
And I said to him, you know, I've got really something tragic to share with you today. And he says, what's that? And I said, with or without a will, someday you're going to die.
Yeah.
So the difference is, are you going to leave your son with a mess to take care of? Or are you going to hand it over because it was done right and he doesn't have to think about it?
Right. And are you going to let the courts decide what happens with your estate?
And he says, I just want to invest money. I'm just going to. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to take the money until you have done what's right, which means you need to go get a will. And he grumbled and growled and got up and stomped out of that meeting. And 3 months later, he came back with a will, put it on his table. On the table, his son was happy. His wife was happy. We took care of some money for him and invested it. But to me, that's part of, we talk about today with the DOL and some of these industry changes about being a fiduciary.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a great thing to begin to focus in on is being someone who's not just doing what seems to be suitable at the moment for somebody,
right,
but really having that ethic and that integrity to say, hey, I'm doing what's best for my clients. I kind of always function that way personally. But
that's because, again, you come out of a ministry background, which has a different level of expectations, both short and long term, for behavior and ethics. And
people would say to me early in the day, they'd say, well, how do you go from being in ministry to being in financial services? Isn't that like contrary? And I used to say,
you're trading places and, you know.
Right. And I said, one thing you don't want is you don't want your preacher to be a crook and you don't want your investment advisor to be a crook. So both of those are honest and good people. You're usually doing pretty good in life.
Yeah.
And they would laugh and say, well, that's a good point. And I said, so I think everybody needs a good person on their in their corner, whether it's spiritual or whether it's financial.
Actually, both.
Right.
Preferably. So in that, along those lines of everybody needs to have a will, right, and we're not attorneys are giving legal advice that ways either. No. You know, the importance of having a medical power of attorney or a financial power of attorney or a durable power of attorney.
Patient advocacy.
Yeah. All of those things, particularly, we just lost Scott Buchholz this week.
Well, yeah, I know.
You know,
very sad.
Well known throughout the community.
And I played basketball with him in high school. So.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, was he a forward? Are you a small forward? Were you a what? Hey, tell me about these positions.
I was definitely, if you know my size, I was definitely a power forward.
Yeah.
And he was a center forward. But yeah, he was had big floppy red hair, and everybody called him Boo back in the day. That was his nickname. And he played at St. Joe. I was at Lakeshore, but we knew each other from back in the days of elbowing each other under the basket. So.
Right. And my only point there is we just all never know when one of those, you know, death, divorce, disease, car accident.
Yep.
My friend whose son didn't come home, 22-year-old on Tuesday night, turns out he had a major car accident.
Wow.
And he's out of the hospital and he's okay, but the car's totaled. And you just never know when those things are going to happen or could happen to anybody.
Exactly.
I'm not saying they will. And that's why being prepared with the right financial plan, but also the other documents in place that help protect the family. My wife knows, and it's in my durable power of attorney and the health plans for me, you know, that you're not going to leave me, for instance, hooked up to a breathing machine and a heart pumping machine.
Right.
For months and months and years on end.
No.
Cut the tubes.
Right.
And don't destroy the family assets.
Right.
In order to keep me breathing on a machine if I'm brain dead at some point. So, well, that's a rough subject for the holidays, Mike. I took you down there.
We could go. We're pretty dark.
So, though we're in the holidays, Christmas is coming, New Year's, Hanukkah's already started.
Yep.
Kwanzaa for those who celebrate that. What kind of things should I be thinking about if I take a look at where I've been this year? How does that help me set a pattern for, I'm going to make a difference. I got to do something different next year to help prepare better for the future.
I think, well, there's a couple things you can do. And again, I'm not giving tax advice. I'm not a tax advisor. But if you have some stocks that just have not been performing in your portfolio and you need to make those changes and take those tax losses, certainly this is a good time to look at doing that.
And that would be before the 31st. Because
correct.
If you do it after January, January 2nd, the market's not on the 1st. Right.
So those types of things within the next couple of weeks are really important to take care of. And this is a good time to, usually, like our offices tend to be a little bit slower this time of year. year, great time to call and say, hey, are the things that we need to clean up? Hopefully your advisor is reaching out to you, but if not,
proactively, right? Yeah.
But if not, looking at your portfolio and say, you know, I've had this stock for 15 years, and people do that. They'll buy a stock 20 years ago and they get the sentimental attachment to it, and it just is kind of a dog.
It's
and
the
they
first
just
stock I ever bought.
Right. And but it's going to turn around. And sometimes it's better to say, you know what, let's just go ahead and take our tax loss and move on. The other thing is this time of year where people are taking their required minimum distributions from their IRAs.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great time to say, and a lot of people say, well, I'm just going to put that in my savings account. It's a great time to look at, well, I can take that money and donate it to a charity. There's a lot of charities, churches, nonprofits that really would take advantage of and use those funds. And if it's not something that I need,
right.
It's a great, again, another deduction that I can use.
Well, and unless you're giving away 20% of your, you know, your gross income,
right.
It's all 100% tax deductible, right. Assuming that you're dealing with a, you know, a reasonable 501c3 who has their license, those kind of things.
Exactly. End of the year like this is great for business owners to begin to look at how they can compress their income, not take a little bit of income and help themselves a little bit going into the end of the year as far as their tax exposure.
Right.
Also spending some of their capital to, again, get some of those expenses up. Those are the types of things as far as a business owner would really be an advantage to you at this time. Making sure I've put in as much as I can to my 401k. If I haven't done that, making those contributions with a simple plan, I can do a $3,000 catch up if I'm over a certain age. So those types of things to say, hey, you know, I really could pad a little bit into my retirement. This is a good time to make sure that's happened. And look at next year to make sure, hey, you know what? I gave 10% of my income went into my retirement plan this year, but next year I'm going to do 11.
Yeah.
And making those little up clicks, because you'll think about it, and then before you know it, it's June and you haven't done it. And well, you know, end of the year, well, what types of things can I get prepped up for next year? And then one of the things, again, I think is a great thought for this time of year is like with grandparents. Grandparents, a lot of times you're buying stuff for grandchildren and you buy them something, stuffed animal, a toy that they are going to be using. You know, you buy them the toy and they'll play with the box. So rather than spending all the money on things that probably they're going to be forgotten, set up a college savings plan and begin to put some of that money into college savings plans. In the state of Michigan, if you do a Michigan plan, you can get a little bit of a tax credit for that. But the other thing is they have a lot of the plans have a really nice certificate that they'll send the recipient, letting them know sure. that something was donated to them, something that they can take with them and use. And there's just a lot of benefit, especially if a child is young. So starting off a little bit will make a big difference 20 years from now.
Absolutely.
So making those commitments and saying to family sometimes, hey, rather than spending all this money on Tommy for Christmas or Susie for Christmas, hey, why don't you buy something and put something into their college savings plan. That would really be a great thing. And I think it's something that, you know, the ultimate cliche of the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
It really is something that would be hugely valuable.
And the Fed raised the prime rate. So you might be getting a little bit more in your savings account
right
now, but dropping it into savings in general is not returning a reasonable yield by, you know, interest rates are still too low. And overall, they're going to stay that way. There have, in our family, we have, I mean, you know, most of us are older. All my siblings are all in our near 50s too. For those who are, there's a couple of 40s, but we went to instead of buying mom and dad another knickknack,
right?
You know,
right?
And I don't remember the website off the top of my head, but there's a place where you can go and you buy a family a chicken or a couple of chickens for $20
yep.
or a goat or, you know, wherever it may be that helps provide sustenance to that family all year long, unless, you know, you kill the chicken because then it's not laying more eggs. But
right.
if it hadn't, you know, you got a possibility of providing sustenance to somebody for all year, and that's sometimes the kind of gift if you want to give something that makes a difference somewhere else in the world as opposed to just the grandkids.
Right.
Nothing wrong with the grandkids' college funds. My kids have a college fund, and Kristen and I are extremely grateful for it.
Oh, it is. And even if you say, well, I funded this college fund. What if my grandson or my kids get a full ride scholarship? They don't need it. You can change the beneficiary and give it to a different child.
Absolutely.
They can save it and give it to their children. I mean, there's a lot of flexibility
in that.
Depending
on how it's set up, you could turn around and make that the first house, you know, the down payment on the house or something.
Yep. So there's a lot of options to look at. And sometimes people think, well, what can I do that's really going to make a difference and someone will actually remember me for? There's some things that you really can look at that really I think is a pretty sentimental and cool thing that my grandparents helped fund my college. And maybe they've been gone for 5 or 10 years by the time I'm in college. College, but you know what? they were a part of it. And I think that's a legacy that's important.
Yeah. In any of these conversations that Mike and I have had, you go, you know, I really should talk to a lawyer, or I need to talk to a CPA or something, because those are different animals than what you and I do. Well, next week on the show, just before Christmas, next week on the show before Christmas, I didn't think what day of Christmas is. It's Dave Schaefer and Mike Layer from Krugel Lawton. They're going to be in town. Great, are going to be on the air. Great people. But of course, if you don't know an attorney or you don't know a CPA and you need part of that in your discussion, Mike or I certainly could pass some recommendations or names on to people.
Be happy to.
Again, Hilliard Lyons on South State Street. The office number there is 983-7500. Mike's email is mwybele, W-Y-B-L-E, at hilliard.com. Mike, you guys traveling at all for the holidays, or is everybody coming back here?
We pretty much stay here. My wife's family's from Chicago, so we'll make the run in Christmas Eve and come right back, but we're not going to anything crazy. We just stay at home.
Yeah. And enjoy the family. Well, and the kids should be coming home from college.
Oh, yeah, we'll start.
Week.
Yeah, the bus will unload any day, and the house will be noisier than
it will be. And you know what? For the month or so before they head back to school, you'll be glad to have them.
Yeah, and then you'll be glad for them to go back.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and Bella the dog will be very happy to have the
she
kids.
She is. Somebody will throw a tennis ball for her, even in the snow, and she's pretty excited when there's unlimited arms to throw a tennis ball.
Mm-hmm. Well, Merry Christmas. Safe, happy, warm holidays for you and your family, and I'll see you again soon.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Real Talk About Real Estate, a weekly conversation about buying, building, listing, and financing homes in Southwest Michigan.
Satisfying a fundamental urge for a man to want his own roof and walls and fireplace.
Brought to you by Union Home Mortgage on Niles Road across from Nye's Apple Barn in St. Joseph. Questions and comments can be sent to John R. Wallace at UnionHomeMortgage.com.
Thank you. Goodbye now. Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you. Goodbye.
Union Home Mortgage Corp. NMLS number 2229. An equal housing lender. Real talk about real estate. We'll be back next Thursday on News Talk 94.9 WSJM.
Well, I hope you folks enjoyed yourselves. Get you later on down the trail.